The following episode contains sensitive topic information that may not be appropriate for young listeners, as well as religious or other views that may not reflect those of the Sirens team.
Hello!
Hi!
Hi, Lindsay! Hi. Hello to our listeners and viewers. We got a special episode tonight, but first, hope everyone's having a great week. Maybe a little spookiness going on in your life. We're about to bring you some in this episode.
I was
going to
say, if not, this episode is going to be pretty spooky.
Yep. The only way it could be spookier is if we were in an actual hospital doing an on-site investigation.
Oh my gosh, an on-site seance.
Oh, in the hospital.
We'll bring a Ouija board and we can light candles.
Oh, no. I don't mess with Ouija boards.
Fine, I'll do it myself. Just kidding. But, I don't think you can do it by yourself, actually.
Yeah, I don't think you can. But I bet if you did, a hospital would be one place to find a lot of interaction.
Yeah.
With the spirit.
Everybody's always like, oh, graveyards are so haunted. But people don't usually die in a graveyard. They die at the hospital. Yep. So wouldn't that be more haunted? I don't know.
I would definitely think so. So without further ado, we do have a special guest tonight, and we're so excited because we wanted to have her on for a while. It is Lindsay's sister, Courtney, my other daughter, and so I'm just so psyched to have both of them on the podcast tonight, all three of us together, and poor Ryan couldn't be here. He got tied up at work, so it's girls' night. Hey, Courtney.
Hi.
Girls' night.
Welcome.
Say hello as well, apparently.
Aww. And yes, we all have dogs. Yeah. And Courtney, what's Bailey doing over there?
Well, the neighbor's dog just decided to bark right before you brought me in, so she needed to bark back.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
You gotta put them in their place.
Yeah. Courtney's enjoying a day off today, and so she has time to actually record with us. But she works some long hours sometimes, and we're going to let her give you guys a little bit of her medical background, tell you about it.
Well, I have worked in healthcare since 2012 when I started working as a nurse on a med-surg floor. I worked 5.5 years of nights there, and then I transferred to the ER and worked 2-ish years as a nurse in the ER, and then switched to my current role, which is a nurse practitioner in the ER since 2020.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize.
She's such a professional.
12 years. It's been a long time.
Yeah,
Yes. And working nights is hard enough, but you know, I imagine that was pretty stressful sometimes. And then you went to the ER.
Yeah.
That seems pretty stressful to me. And just so all our loyal listeners out there know, Courtney didn't get any of that from me. Like, I could never be a nurse or anyone in the health profession. That's just not my cup of tea. But we are so thankful for Courtney and others that do that. As a matter of fact, her husband is also a nurse practitioner. So we just hats off to y'all. So that's 12 years you've been working in the hospital. So I know that you have an experience to share with us, but I want you to tell our listeners, as far as the supernatural goes, are you as into it as me and Lindsay? Do you believe in it? What's your thoughts there?
I like supernatural stuff and I believe in it, but like when y'all went and locked yourself into the Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum for the night, that wasn't my tea. I went and toured it during the day and had a good time, but I'm not trying to get locked in with nothing.
Got you. And Courtney is also the one who went to Point Pleasant, West Virginia, saw the Mothman statue, went to the museum, and Lindsay and I are hoping to get there. We were a little jealous.
Well, when you go, you got to go around to the backside of the Mothman.
That's what I said.
It's called the Shiny Hiney.
That's what we heard. I heard they have t-shirts that say I touched the shiny honey. Yeah.
And I will be getting one because I will be touching it.
We like walked and looked and took pictures, and then we went into the little museum and saw the t-shirts, and I was like, well, now I gotta walk around behind it and see. Yeah. And he does.
Didn't get a t-shirt?
I got a Mothman t-shirt, but not one that said I touched the shiny honey.
Yeah, I guess you would have had to explain that to every person who saw you.
Yeah, wearing, probably.
If they hadn't been there. So you do, you believe in the supernatural, but you just don't put yourself out there as much.
I have a healthy respect for them. They can do their thing and I'll do mine.
Okay, agreed. Mm-hmm. Agreed. We might still get you to go on an on-site investigation someday with us.
Probably during the day. Something during the day.
Yes. But Lindsay, we had some weird experiences at the Trans-Allegheny during the day.
I know. When I do my, I'm going to do an episode, I think, where like I tell you guys, like you and Ryan, all my supernatural experiences, and that's definitely at the top of the list.
Okay.
Because that was a trip.
Yeah. For sure. It really was. It really was. Well, Courtney, now, you have worked at the same hospital all these 12 years.
Yes.
Did it ever, were you ever, before you share your experience, did it ever creep you out, like, working at night there?
Yeah. I mean, if anywhere is going to be haunted, a hospital, I think, will. Because, like, if your spirit stays where you die, lots of people die in the hospital. And, like, the unit that I worked on, it was shaped like a T, the med-surg unit. So they would remodel each wing occasionally, and then that wing would just be shut down. But there's still an omni-cell, which has all the medicine at the end of the hallway. So you'd have to just walk down a deserted hallway in the middle of the night to get medicine out of there. I didn't like that.
I did not.
Wow. So I'm like, I can walk down this hallway 200 times a night when there's people down here and there's patients, but the doors are shut. It's like nobody in there. It's creepy.
Changes the whole dynamic, right?
Mm-hmm. That's really creepy.
That is creepy. And I feel like a lot of people think hospitals are creepy anyway, much less a deserted hallway.
Yeah, for sure. Especially like those old creepy abandoned hospitals.
Mm-hmm. No. Well, I do tell about, you said you had at least one experience to share with us. I'm sure you could gather lots of other people's experiences if you had time and they would talk to you about them.
Yeah, tell us. A few people, but they were like, I can't remember anything. So,
okay. Well, we're glad. Well, I mean, I'm not glad you had a creepy experience, but I'm glad that you can remember it and want to share it with us.
Well, I mean, it was creepy, so it stuck with me.
Well, okay, go ahead.
I don't remember what year it was. It was one of the years I was working nights on the med-surg floor. So, like I said before, the unit was like T-shaped. So, like right at the top of the T would be the nurse's station. Then it goes out and then a hallway goes down. So, there's three hallways. So, this old woman was a patient in room 6, which is all the way at the far end of the first hallway. All the way at the end. Mm-hmm. So, I'm down there with my little roller computer giving her meds. I was in the room talking to her, and it was later than the first med pass, so it was probably midnight-ish time. I don't recall exactly what time it was, but there wasn't really much else going on down that hallway. The other patients were quiet in their rooms. There weren't any other staff members down the hallway with me, so I was getting ready to go out of the room. I had turned off her big light, so she just had her little sink light on, and she was the only person in this room. It was just her in the bed. So I'm pushing my cart out and I was like, okay, well, just hit your call bell if you need anything. And then she whispers, I don't think she heard you. And I don't know who she was talking to, but I just kept pushing that cart right on out that door and closed it.
Wait. You saw her whisper that?
No, I heard her say it. My back.
Are you sure it was her?
Yes. Pretty sure it was her. Talking to some unknown thing in the room with me. I don't know what it was, but I'm glad that I didn't hear it, and I just kept going out the door.
Oh my gosh.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. No, it was creepy. And it wasn't like she just said, hey, I don't think she heard you. It was like a creepy whisper. I don't think she heard you. You know these old ladies, they can creepy whisper.
I'm literally going to hear that in my sleep.
I was like, nope. And I pushed my computer out in the hallway and plugged it up. And then I went right back up to the nurse's station where all my other coworkers were. And I was like, something really creepy just happened.
Did you have to go back there that night?
Yeah, but that nothing else happened.
That was the only time that she whispered at you? Or I guess maybe at something else?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the only time. And I knew she wasn't talking to me because why would I have said something
right.
that somebody else didn't hear? Because it's just me and her in the room. Creepy.
Or was it?
I mean, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Just me and her that somebody I could else. See. But after she said that, like the little hairs on my neck stood up, and I was just like, I thought for a half second about being like, what? But I was like, no.
You didn't even try
to mind your business sometimes, you know?
I had already said, let me know if you need anything, and going on back up the hallway.
So you didn't even turn around.
Nope.
She don't play. She's on business.
I know, yeah, Courtney don't play.
I was like, whatever's in here ain't attaching itself to me.
Steve walking out the door.
Did you ever have any experiences with patients who, like, said they saw something else in the room or?
Yeah, we had down the same hallway. It was like, I feel like it was at least two nights in a row, if not three, maybe, because sometimes I would work three in a row. Like, patients down the hallway said that this person was coming into their room in the middle of the night. And you go in there and there'd be nobody in there. And they're like, they are. There's somebody's coming in here. And you're like, there's nobody in here. Like, we got a lot of confused old people with dementia. And then they're in the hospital. They get more confused. But then one night, someone was standing at the nurse's station where they could see down the hallway. And it was one of the other old confused patients just wandering into other people's rooms.
Oh.
But we had been like, nobody's coming in here. And they're like, yeah, somebody was.
Oh, no.
I was going to ask, did they all describe the person the same way?
I can't remember how they described him, but they kept somebody came in here and used my bathroom. And we're like, no, they didn't. Well, yeah, they did.
Yeah,
sure did. So we had to go. Oh, and of course, he was in a hospital gown, which is open in the back with nothing else on, and his little walker, so you could just
see, that you could see the shiny hiney. You could see the little shiny hiney.
Oh, poor little old guy. I know you've probably seen a lot in your 12 years working in a hospital, and I know you've had angry patients and everything from patients that had guards with them because they came from the prison. Jail. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've seen a lot. And I know you've dealt with saving lives, and sometimes, you know, it's just someone's time to go. So you've had to deal with death. Have you ever had to, do they have like certain people on each floor that take bodies to the morgue or?
Oh my gosh, I was literally going to ask that.
No, after somebody dies, then, like, you bathe them. So you kind of clean them up. You remove any kind of tubes they might have, IVs, whatever. And then, like, usually either the tech or the nurse will push the stretcher to the morgue. And then, like, you put them. It usually takes a couple people to put somebody down there. But it's not super big, so sometimes there would be other bodies in there when you would take one down, sometimes there wasn't.
Did that ever freak you out?
Yeah, if I had to go by myself, which I think only happened one time, but most of the time I was with like one of my friends, so we would just like kind of joke around about talk about other things to distract ourselves.
Yeah, because I feel like a lot of scary stories I've heard about the hospitals have had to do with the morgue or going to the morgue or.
Yeah. Which I mean, and maybe it's bigger and bigger hospitals, but ours is not that big. Like it's one room with like four shelves. So
shelves. They just put them on shelves?
Well, yeah. Then, I mean, usually they're not there for that long because the next day, the whichever funeral home will come and get them.
Is it ever weird, like, cleaning them up, I guess, and, like, knowing that there's just there's nothing in there anymore?
Yeah, but they say that, like, hearing is the last thing to go. So yeah. Sometimes I would, like, still talk to them while I was cleaning
them. Oh, my God. That's so sad.
It was sad. This little old woman, she coded and she had to go through like compressions and all this stuff. And it was, which coding someone is kind of brutal anyway. If you've never seen it, like it can be rough, but you're trying to save somebody's life.
Yeah.
But hers was a little rougher than other people. And I was just like, I'm sorry that that happened to you while I was cleaning her up. Just like, I'm sorry. I just want you to know that.
And if hearing's the last thing to go, then they're hearing all of that. And that
I can't imagine.
I'm sure it's stressful for you guys too. I'm sure it's stressful for the medical professionals that are.
Adam said one time when he was working in the ICU, I don't know if it was when he was a hospitalist nurse practitioner or when he was still a nurse in the ICU, that they coded somebody for a while and then that person died, and he's like, as soon as they like died, the temperature in the room dropped like 30 degrees.
I've heard that too.
It got real cold, and then everybody has a superstition like open the window when somebody dies.
Yeah.
So they're not trapped.
Yeah, their soul has to get out.
Yeah.
Or else they're trapped in the hospital with you.
So do they do that? Do they actually open the window like when somebody passes?
Not really. And most hospital windows don't really open.
I was gonna say, I kind of thought that they were like glued shut or something. So
some of them, it depends on like what kind of floor you're on, will open like just a little bit, but the majority of them just stay closed.
Have you ever had any experience with family members you know, of people who have passed in the hospital? Like, what's it like? I guess you guys don't really see them after the body is taken.
Not after the body's taken. Now in the ER, like people come in with the, like getting compressions and stuff all the time. So then the doctor will have to go out to where the family is and tell them, and then they'll bring them back. And that it's just always so sad.
Traumatic, probably. So the doctor has to go get them and bring them back and explain what's going on.
Yeah.
Y'all are still working on them?
Sometimes, because sometimes if it's like it's highly unlikely that somebody's going to come back and have, like, even if they did come back, they would probably be more of a vegetable. So sometimes they'll bring the family back to say, do you want us to keep trying or not? Ooh. And so that can be a rough decision for people to make too.
Right. Yeah.
But I mean, just so y'all know, Adam knows this already anyway. If something ever happened to me and they said I was going to be a vegetable, just don't even. Make me live like that. Just let me go.
And it's a good time to point out too, you know, for people to, if they have specific wishes, to write those down, get a do not resuscitate or whatever they want to do before, you know, something were to happen and your family's making that decision.
You can get do a living will, so you can get the paperwork for that from your regular doctor, and then you just have to have it notarized.
And then where do you put
lays it? Out, and then you can give it to your doctor, but keep a copy as well. And that lays out like if you couldn't make decisions, who could make decisions for you, and what you would want, so that people aren't guessing what you would want.
Right, and that would stress me out.
Yeah, and I feel like that would take a lot of guilt away from the people that are left trying to make a decision, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's some good advice right there, listeners, you know, for all of us.
That I was going to say, if it was me and there was still a little bit of a chance, just pull the plug because I'm tired. I'm a little bit tired, so I would be fine.
Make sure that I'm not in the middle of a book when I die, because I can't go forever not knowing how it is.
Yeah.
Well, we could read it to you. We could read it to you.
Just keep you in that veggie state for like a week or so until we're done with the book. And then
this is terrible, y'all. We should be joking about this.
Listen, I feel like 90% of people have this sense of humor, so it's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially
probably our listeners do.
Yeah.
Yeah, we cater to a specific kind of audience.
I like a bit of dark humor, but it's all in good fun.
You gotta stay weird.
And you know how many supernatural, I had no idea how many supernatural paranormal podcasts there are out there until we got our feet wet in that realm. There are so many, and there's so many. I want to listen to them all.
You know what? I don't know if it's still a thing, but like the Society of Psychical Research, that team that they put together, and they kind of investigated, what was that? It was the second Conjuring movie. It was in England, and it was that haunting.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about? I don't remember.
Was that the Enfield Poltergeist?
The Enfield, yeah.
Yeah.
And they went and they researched that. I wish there was another, like, modern-day Society for Psychical Research that I could just join and go research stuff with people.
Maybe
and
there
just, like,
is.
See there.
Maybe there is. Maybe we'll get an email about it.
But it probably costs a lot of money. Yeah, it's probably really expensive to join. Maybe we should just start one.
Yeah, there you go.
And say, hey, we'll be investigating at this place. Pull up. Like, bring your Ouija board.
Come on down.
What? Bring your night vision cam. Like, we're going to.
Bring your, what is the little static monitors that they use to try to record voices? EFP.
A little EFP.
Bring them.
We have a couple of little digital recorders.
I have the one from when we went to Trans-Allegheny. I don't think we really caught anything, though.
I know. I downloaded all those audio files onto my computer, and I didn't really hear anything.
And it was so funny, because when we started, like, at the beginning of the night, it was so intense, and everybody's, like, you could feel the energy was so almost like staticky, and everybody was nervous, and it was really high up there. But then by the end of the night, when it was like, I don't know, 4:45, 5 a.m.
Yeah.
Mom was like taking a nap up against the wall. She was like, I'm done with this.
I'm surprised it took her that long to fall.
Couple of them that actually had investigating tools and stuff. The ones where you have one person has the headphones on, the other person asks questions, and they can hear voices, and they'll say.
But they can't hear the questions.
Yeah, they can't hear the questions. And they were doing a session like that in one of the rooms, and I just turned to the side, because there was one chair in the room, and Mom was sitting in the chair, and I was sitting on the floor, and I just turned to her, because I was going to ask her something or say something. And she was just out. She was out. She was taking a little nap, and I was like, damn! She's not even scared anymore. Like, this is nothing.
These ghosts could have got her by now.
But and me and Lindsay, we were wandering down these long, dark hallways, just like by ourselves. And I was like, I don't feel anything but like a sense of, I didn't feel fear. I just felt sadness.
Yeah.
You know,
it was heavy. Yeah. And you could feel that there were other people there. Like the way the wings were set up, there's like a part in the middle, and then there's a wing to the left and the right. And we had the whole like section to ourselves. Every hour of the night, we would go to a different floor. So you could feel that there were other people there on the same floor as you, but I don't know. It was just that night. I was expecting so much out of that night, I think, because from the first time that we went and everything that happened then, but nothing really happened that night. So I was just kind of like, I mean, it was so fun, and I'm so glad we got to go and do it. And the tour guides and all their stories were so
good. Yeah.
But I guess I was expecting more to happen. And I think part of it is like to blame on these paranormal and ghost shows that everything in the world happens that same night that they go investigate. They get all this information, when in reality it takes a long time to get anything at all.
And I feel like a lot of those ghost hunter shows, a lot of them go to old abandoned hospitals and asylums, and they seem to always catch something there. You know, I don't know how really
like, I don't have good TV.
Exactly. And Zach Bagans, he gets possessed by a spirit every time. He gets so pissed off at Aaron.
It's so angry.
Every episode. There's this girl on TikTok. I don't know her name, but she does the funniest impersonation of him.
She does.
Like, she has the trucker hat. She draws this little mustache on, and she has all the clothes that he has. And she'll be like, this is a 1800s farmhouse that hasn't been investigated in 20 years. And then she goes inside and she's like, at this exact moment, I felt my inner rage come out and go right towards Aaron. And then she turns around and she's like, Aaron!
That's so great.
Good. Like, it's exactly like the show. It's so
funny. Are they still making episodes of that show?
I don't know. I feel like because he has his museum now, and he has a show, or he had a show that was kind of paired with the museum.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then there was some
museum.
Yes, that's what I was going to say.
And which we can tell stories from that in a second, but there's another show too. I don't know if they still make Ghost Adventures now.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't think so. I might be wrong, but I think he had his 15 minutes of fame there, and then he went on to other things, like his museum that Courtney has been to. Tell us about that, Courtney.
Yeah, do tell. Do tell.
It was so fun, but it was also so cheesy.
It was cheesy?
Yes. Because you know how he is on the show. Yeah. So there's like these very videos dramatic. Or like audio recordings that you'd listen
to. Oh, he wasn't there?
No.
If he was, he didn't come out. No.
Oh, okay.
So you go, he didn't come and out. You had to pay extra for this other, like, extra tour. So we would get to places in the house and stop. And if there was only one girl on our tour that paid extra, and the guy that she was with did not pay extra to do it, he's like, I'm not doing it. So she, like, had to go down these stairs by herself to where this, like, pentagram was on the floor, and then just the weird stuff.
That's
but
it?
You go in these rooms, and they, like, play their little sound bite about what you're looking at. And, like, I swear, everyone felt like, talk about the whatever the object was, and he would be like, then after he talked about how haunted it was, he'd be like, and I bought it for $20,000.
Oh, my gosh.
He does. That's how he talks. He's so dramatic.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, my God.
And then I bought it.
About how much money he spent on this.
Yes.
Stuff. Yeah, so much.
He's money dropping instead of name dropping.
There was this one room we went in, and it was, like, all dark, and like then they started playing this video, and it was about some old Hollywood car engine that's supposed to be haunted. I don't know. But then the lights came up and there's the engine, and I'm like, oh,
oh my God.
So scared.
It's that engine.
I was like, okay.
And but it there was a fun it tour. Is.
They had all kinds of stuff, things you're supposed to say hello to and goodbye to when you go in and out of rooms, things you're not supposed to touch. Of course, Adam had to be a rebel, my husband, and touch one of them. But they said if you touched it, then you'd have nightmares forever. He never had any nightmares.
My favorite episode of, like, the museum one is when they got Annabelle, the doll, to come there, and she's like in this case, and it's him and the guy that brought Annabelle, and I don't remember if he was Ed and Lorraine Warren's stepson or son. He was related to them somehow. And so they're sitting there in the dark on either side of this case, and it's like the night vision camera, and Zach's like, I really feel like she wants me to touch her, man. And the guy's like, you can't do that, Zach. Because he told him beforehand, he was like, if you touch her, like, I have to take her and leave. Like, you cannot touch her at all. Not even the case. And Zach's like, he's sitting in the chair, and you can slowly see his arm in the dark. Girl, like, he's trying to touch it. And then he's like, I have to touch it.
So dramatic.
Did he touch it?
I think he did touch the case. I don't know.
So he wasn't even supposed to touch the case?
No.
Wow.
No, she's real bad. She's a baddie.
Oh, dramatic.
that's funny. Well,
we've gotten just a little bit off.
We did, but that's okay.
But that's fine. Mom, do you want to start with some of your stories that you found?
Yeah, sure. I found some creepy hospital stories that may give you the heebie-jeebies. Courtney, you'd be thinking about these next time you're working.
Okay.
Okay, so these are all really short, but they're good ones. So I looked up, I got on BuzzFeed, because that's such a reputable.
I love BuzzFeed. I had a great time.
I know, I love it. So they had 16 weird and creepy stories from hospital workers. That'll give you the heebie-jeebies is where I got that. But I just pulled one from that one. And it's it was sent in by Simple Simon 6262. So he says, when I was a student, I got called in on a stroke patient. She had coded and they were doing CPR. They worked for 45 minutes, but she died. They cleaned her up and called on the family to say goodbye. By the time the family left, she had been both brain dead and without a pulse for more than 45 minutes. Blood had filled her brain. She was completely gray and started to smell. Suddenly, she sat up and called for her family. The nurses rushed to get monitors and equipment back on her. They started working on her again. She stabilized, said goodbye to her family, and promptly died a second time.
You need an old priest and a young priest for that.
Do what? What'd you say?
You need an old priest and a young priest for that.
I mean, how does that medically, that's impossible, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that is so strange.
Like somebody sent her back so she could say goodbye.
Yeah. She's like, I ain't done. I didn't get to say goodbye to my family. I'm going back.
She probably.
Oh, no, wait a minute.
She's up there for 45 minutes nagging somebody until they're like, fine.
Yeah.
Fine.
Yeah. She's up there like pitching a fit, like, no, I have to go back and say goodbye.
Y'all, we can make like, anything fine. Funny, fine, right? All right. Here's
though that she turned gray and then just sat straight up.
Yeah.
That's so scary.
Me too. That's what I was thinking when I read this. I was like, yeah, I'd have been out.
I just started screaming.
And he was, you said, a student at that time, or?
He was, let's see.
Like a new.
Yeah, he was a student.
Oh my God.
That would have been the day that I.
Class.
That yeah, I would have been like rethinking my.
Thrown in the towel.
Future career.
That's enough for me. Thanks.
I'd be like, you know what? I think I'm going to switch careers. I might just stay home and make cakes and be like a baker because I can't.
I wouldn't have been going back after that, I'll tell you.
That's so scary.
It is. And here's one that says a spooky but sweet goodbye. And this is from. Jess Panda Pants. I love these names. I'm an RN, and while I was a student, here's another student, I was caring for a lady who had end-stage renal failure. She had a DNAR. What is that, Courtney?
Do not like attempt to resuscitate.
Attempt to resuscitate. Okay. And she was shutting down. We were having a little chat when she stopped. Looked over my shoulder and said, Bill's here, love. I've got to go. And swiftly stopped breathing. I read her old notes and Bill was her deceased husband. And I heard my aunt say, who was in the room with my grandmother when she passed, that she felt a presence in the room, like right before my mama passed. And she said she felt like it was her dad who had died previously coming to get mama. And I thought that was so sweet.
There's a lot of times like these little old people that are like slowly dying. Like they're probably not going to make it out of the hospital. Start talking about seeing family members that have passed away. And then it's like they come to get her.
Okay. You went out there for a minute.
What did you
froze for? It froze for a second. And I was like, are we paused or are we?
So you said they stop. You said they start seeing, like, they say they see
people that have died. And it's like they're coming to
take
them with them.
hospice workers, you can read some good stories from them too about that kind of thing. Here's another one, and this is from Samster 338. Samster says, I used to work in a personal care home. A couple of times, a day or so after a resident had passed, their call bell would go off in their room. But no one was in the room when the call bell went off on any of the occasions. We had one resident die pretty traumatically. Nurses had to perform CPR because he was a full code. That night, the midnight staff said they saw him at the end of the hall just walking down the hall like he always did. And then the alarm on the door to the outside, because it was a secured unit for Alzheimer's dementia, went off. It was the door he always tried when he was looking to get out. So, and then I found this next one on a website called trustedhealth.com/blogs/spooky nursing stories. I know. Y'all don't laugh at my sources. This person says, I'll never forget this experience from my early days as a pediatric nurse. Hey, why are all these stories from like students and early days?
Like, that is strange.
Do people get jaded after a while and they just chalk things up to coincidence, probably, whatever?
Yeah.
Working in one of the oldest wings of the hospital during the night shift, I witnessed something that still puzzles me to this day. Children who are generally extraordinarily perceptive began noticing an unexplained presence precisely around 6 in the morning. Several of them, unprompted and with striking consistency, asked about the doctor who had just visited them. They all described him as a tall figure with gray hair and glasses and always wearing a white coat. Eventually, I had to ask my colleagues about this mysterious man. Oh, that sounds like Dr. So-and-so, they said nonchalantly. He used to work here, but he passed away some time ago, and we believe he's still making his rounds checking in on the children. I had never seen any pictures of this doctor, yet every child recounted the same image. It was an eerie realization that perhaps those we've lost continue to watch over their charges, existing in a space between our reality and theirs. And that was from Jerry F. R.N.
I gotta say,
yeah.
If I die and I'm still having to go to work, I'm mad. I was
literally thinking that. I was like, this poor man has to go to work in the afterlife.
God, I can't get away from this.
Just trapped perpetually in your job. Yeah. That would be awful. Yeah. Ugh. That's the scariest thing that anybody has said tonight.
Exactly.
Literally, yeah.
Okay, and I think this is my last one, yes. And it is from a website called allnurses.com. This story was told to me from a nurse on the 5th floor neuro unit. The nurse was at the desk, and a guy in white nursing garb came through the double doors, walked into an empty room, and didn't come back out. The nurse thought it was strange, so he went into the room, and it was empty. He went to the double doors and opened them, and there were two respiratory techs talking at the entrance. They swore they'd been there talking the whole time, and no one had come through the doors. When one of his co-workers returned from lunch and he explained what happened, she said, "Oh, that's just Bob. He worked here as an IVN. What's an IVN?
IVN?
Yeah. What's that? Maybe that's a misprint. He worked,
maybe an IV nurse? I don't know.
Maybe. It says he worked here years ago and was accused of molesting a child. He was sure he was about to be arrested, so he jumped out the window in that room and killed himself. But we see him all the time.
Pedos hanging around.
Right.
Bye, Bobby. Yeah.
Page it. Mm-hmm. Get him out of there.
So evidently, I bet you could go to any hospital across the nation or probably around the world and you would find someone with a story similar to those, know, about somebody that had died and came back to life, or somebody, or they see somebody, some patient or doctor that's passed on, or nurse. So that those were my stories. I thought they were pretty kind of creepy, but yeah, short and sweet, you know. But Lindsay, I know you have some near death experience stories to share.
I do. Mm. Well, I have a couple near death experiences, and I have one that's kind of like an outer body experience. When I think of near death experiences, I kind of was thinking of stories of people that died and came back.
Yeah.
That's just automatically where my brain goes. But that's not always the case. Sometimes it's just like really close calls with death. Sometimes mm-hmm. it is dying and coming back. It can be either or. But I did find one that's kind of like an outer body experience, which is what I think of when I think mm-hmm. of near-death experience. And then I will end my session off with something really creepy. A little something creepy and spicy.
To leave
and
us with.
Spicy. Okay.
Not like that. Not spicy.
Well, I figured it wasn't like that.
Just
you got ghosts behind you.
I know, yeah, champ standing guard there behind you.
Champ's butt's right there. Okay. So my first story is from Alex Behemoth on Reddit. Now, just a trigger warning, this does talk a little bit about suicide and hanging. So,
ooh, I should have given a trigger warning. I'm sorry.
Well, we can maybe put one at the beginning. Okay?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or like in the show notes or something. Okay. And he says, when I was 6 or 7 years old, I was walking by the living room and saw my parents watching a Western on TV. There was a guy who was about to be hanged. The movie dramatized the scene and the ambiance made it dreadful. As a child, I was curious and thought about how scary it would be to be in such a situation. I moved on and went outside to the front of the house. There was a large tree where my cousins and I would play. It had a rope tied to it with a noose. I believe we used it to swing by putting our feet in it, but not too sure. It was a small, thin-colored rope my grandpa collected from sacks of feed. I found a 5-gallon paint bucket. I put it next to the tree and swung the rope to a higher branch. At this point, curiosity had gotten the better of me, and I wanted to feel the dread that having a rope around your neck and being close to death would cause.
What kind of 6-year-old does that?
Yeah!
Okay, sorry.
Kids are weird. I can't. They are. They're just weird. They're weird little kids. I never actually planned on killing myself. I just wanted the sensation and then I would stop. So he wasn't like going to actually hang. He just wanted to have it around his neck and pretend that he was in the movie is what I'm thinking. After I stood on the bucket, I realized the rope was too high for me to put my neck in. So I looked around and found a small paint can. I put it on top of the 1-gallon bucket and stepped on it. It was just high enough for me to get my neck inside the noose. Although, as I stepped on the small paint can, I noticed that it was shaky and unstable. I had a moment in which I reconsidered if it was too dangerous, but I figured that I could quickly put my neck in and out before anything happened and I would be fine. So I did.
Fine.
When I put the noose around my neck, I quickly became disappointed. There was no feeling of dread or fear, nothing. I felt the same as I felt without a noose around my neck. So I began to take the rope off my neck when I felt the can tip over. There was no time to think at that point. It seemed like my body was acting on its own. My hands tried to grab the rope around my neck, but couldn't grab onto anything as the rope was too thin anyways. My feet on their tiptoes barely managed to touch the can, which was now on its side, but I couldn't press on it as the can moved back and forth, like it was kind of rolling on the 1-gallon. I couldn't find a position to stand on it. All of this is automatic. I'm not making any conscious decisions at this point. After a couple of seconds, I began to realize that I was going to die and began to feel scared and panicked. But then I kind of just accepted the situation and accepted death. Everything began to turn black and the situation I was in wasn't there anymore. It's like it didn't matter. I remember, okay, and also this is common in near-death experiences. Like it's the acceptance is pretty common. At least what I read. I remember thinking it was so stupid that I was going to die in this way, that me at such a young age died in such a stupid way. Thinking about it, this thought was weird and that I can't imagine me as a child thinking like that. As I truly accepted death and everything was black, I could only retain a sense of feeling. I felt warmth, love, and peace. There was something that was emanated from that. I remember thinking, death is not that bad. I didn't feel pain or anything from my body as it was probably still hanging. Then I felt the can shoot itself upright, like if a precise force changed its position firmly and instantly. I didn't have much time to think as I came back. I quickly took off the noose and got off of the can. As I got off, a car slowed down with the man inside looking at me. I was at this point very ashamed at what a stupid thing I had done, so I hoped he didn't see anything and ran inside the house. I didn't tell this event to anyone for about 15 years. I was so ashamed that I could do something so stupid that I didn't want anyone to know. As a kid, I remember my parents talking about everyone having their own guardian angel. So I imagined it made more sense that an angel saved me than that my feet, while I was in that blackout state, managed to flip the cans with such a force and precision when I could barely touch it with my tiptoes while I was conscious.
Wow.
That kid dumb.
Straight to jail. Straight to jail.
My God. Yeah.
That was weird. And then there were like a lot of comments saying, you know, how did the paint can tip back? Like, what do you think happened? And he was basically just like, the only explanation I have for it is that I had a guardian angel, like something was watching out for me that day.
Yeah,
definitely. Whew.
Yeah, I just thought that one was.
Can you imagine what his mom dad would have done if they'd have seen that? He'd been getting a whooping. It don't matter.
Probably would have been traumatized. Like, what did I do to make my kid want to?
Oh, yeah, not true. Then they would have gave.
Because I'm thinking, like, this kid is 6 years old, 6 or 7 years old. Probably hadn't ever seen anything like that before. Hadn't ever like experienced anybody hanging. So when they saw that on the TV, probably just got really curious about what it was and what it meant. And
that's traumatic, though.
Kids are weird. I don't know how else to say it. They're weird little people.
Wow.
Okay. Let's see. I have another one.
Can I ask you a quick question before you get into it? In the stories that you found, like the near-death experiences, is it, like you said, the acceptance comes, but did you find a common thread of people feeling like peaceful after that, like warm, loved, whatever?
Yeah, and when I first started looking up stuff about near death and outer body experiences, it's funny because you have people that are religious that tell these stories, of every religion that tell these stories. You have people that are not religious that tell these stories. And every story that I've heard, there's always some kind of bright light or some kind of warmth or entity that's there and welcoming and making you feel loved. But it's not anything specific. Like, it's not a specific person. Like, they can't say, some people are like, it was Jesus for sure. But it sounds very similar across the board, no matter what your religion is.
No matter what your perspective. Yeah.
Yeah. So
I feel like I've read some articles and like a lot of people seem to like equate the feeling to like being wrapped in a warm blanket.
Yeah.
Just like a kind of a safe, cozy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. Now, this one doesn't really say how they got into this near-death experience. They're more talking about what it is and how it made them feel and trying to explain that. So this is from Inner Symphony on Reddit. And they said, I felt like I was taking up 3/4 of the room, like I was crammed into it and my soul was too big for where I was standing. I felt like a giant. Then I felt my entire awareness expand into an extra dimension beyond the 3D plane. Like my entire mind was consumed by the true depth of what reality is really like. I'd always thought that when someone described the other side as being more real than real, that they meant that it felt like 8K resolution, while we're living in a 4K resolution now. That's not the case at all. There's an entirely new depth, dimension of realness to true reality. The difference is greater than when you compare a 2D image to something three-dimensional. I really can't stress this enough. To compare it to how reality for us on Earth feels like right now, it's like the difference between a dream and being awake. It felt like one would need to qualitatively combine 1,000 Earth realities to match the depth of realness that the other place has. It's like we're on Earth having inserted ourselves into Sims characters or dolls in a dollhouse to play. Everything on Earth looks plastic and fake to me since that day. I instantly felt the most intense love and life feeling, if the word life had an essence, that was completely unimaginable and that words cannot describe. The love I felt was so intense that I could physically feel it throughout my soul body, and I instantly recoiled in horror at the realization that all of my suffering on Earth was meaningless and that true reality is nothing but love and life. There was a soul song that had a depth slash dimension to it that no audio or song on Earth has or could ever compare to. It was like the hum of millions of voices, each talking distinctly and individually, but together in a wholeness to create a single sound that vibrated my very being and imbued the very essence of the words life and love into my soul. The atmosphere was like the lively chatter of a tropical rainforest, if the density were multiplied by millions of times. It was so beautiful and felt so good that I was crying the whole time. The feeling is so distinct and unique that trying to explain this to you is like trying to explain what it's like to see to someone who's been blind since birth. You really can't understand even if I tell you. It's not just a sixth sense. You're literally incapable of imagining what it's like, even if I explain for thousands of pages. It's just so naturally unfathomable to the human mind. I never could have imagined such a feeling if I was given all the time in the world to contemplate. Neither can you. My mind felt faster and more intelligent than the fastest of the world's supercomputers combined and multiplied.
Wow.
I thought that was so interesting.
So was that somebody who actually medically died and came back, or?
This one, I couldn't find out. I couldn't find their original post about how they died or they died and came back, but I'm assuming that they died and came back and that's what they experienced. But that's
interesting.
I know. And when I was looking up stuff about this, I kind of was wanting to try to find out like what's going on in the brain as this is happening. And there's been a lot of studies, actually, like medical studies about near-death experiences and where they could come from. Like, is there a specific thing that has to happen to give you a near-death experience? And I think one of them studied like cardiac arrest patients, maybe, and that a lot of them that had near-death experiences had really similar near-death experiences. And one of the articles I read said something along the lines of, like, when you're dying and your brain is like the oxygen is slowing down to your brain, it can kind of trigger different chemicals in your brain to react. Like some people, you know, take DMT to experience hallucinations and stuff. And that's one of the chemicals that gets released into your brain as you're dying that kind of slows time down, makes you have these hallucinations. And a lot of them think that that's where this near-death experience can come from, that your brain is just trying to trigger all of your good memories. And one thing that I read that was really interesting, and I don't remember what article it was from, said that when all of this is happening, your brain knows that it's dying, so it kind of lets down all of its walls of memory, and so all of your old memories come flooding back that you've forgotten about from your childhood, and all these memories and these sensations and these people. And I think a lot of the studies were looking into the gray matter and kind of what happens there when you're, as you're dying. It was so interesting. And then I came across this concept of quantum immortality. And I think I'm going to do a whole episode on that just on its own, because it's a very interesting theory that there are all these different yous on all these different dimensions. And when you have a near-death experience or you feel like you avoided something, that possibly means that one of yourselves in another dimension did die.
Oh, wow.
And looking into how we could theoretically be immortal because of that. And I just think it's so interesting.
That's wild.
And it's so, like, I was trying to get into it today because I didn't know if I wanted to include it or not, But it is one of those things that's very, if you're not really reading it and paying attention to it, it's just going to go right over your head.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I don't have enough time to dedicate to this right now. But I'm going to do more research on it because it is a very interesting. I'd never heard about this before.
Me either. That does sound
so interesting.
So let me ask you, and I want to hear what Courtney thinks about this too. Mm-hmm. So when you were reading that, it made me, you know how a lot of people who have near-death experiences or they say my whole life flashed before my eyes, you know? And so that kind of what you said is going on in the brain kind of helps explain that. And Courtney, I know we think you're the medical health professional with knowledge of everything.
She knows a lot.
But what do you think about that? I mean, have you ever had any patients or maybe colleagues that have described patients who have come back or had those near-death experiences?
I haven't. And I don't know anyone who has, but like you read articles about it online mm-hmm. and stuff. I like reading about stuff like that.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, that DMT is released in your brain when you're dying. And like, who's to say we're not all in that space right now? I mean, mm-hmm. And I have heard the multiverse thing that Lindsay talked about, that like when you have deja vu, it just means you and yes. one of your other multiverse copies are doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Oh, doing the same thing at the same time you are.
I think it's so interesting. I love stuff like that.
We kind of touched on that a little bit too in some past episodes. The doppelganger one. Yeah. That was such a good episode. If you haven't listened to it, go back and listen to it, listeners.
It was a good episode.
It was creepy. I think Lindsay was scared for like
I still cannot get past that story.
I know.
Of that pregnant woman seeing herself in the mirror still and like her husband saw her crawling backwards on the bed. I will never forget that story.
I like
it.
It
will haunt my dreams forever.
That woman just like straight started shooting at her doppelganger as soon as she saw it. She didn't even ask no questions.
Yeah.
She's like, no.
Absolutely not. Get out of here. This is my life. Okay, so and I do have one or two just creepy hospital stories that I saw that will tie into my grand finale at the end.
Oh, grand finale.
Okay. Now, this one is from Bubbly Pessimist on Reddit.
Bubbly Pessimist. Like, that's a great name.
Yeah, that is like, a good name. That really do be really do be describing me sometimes, though. Okay, and they said, it was my second night with this patient in his late 80s. He was terminally ill and was leaving for home hospice. In the middle of the night, I go to do vitals, and he's talking out loud in his sleep and fidgeting. Hadn't done it the night before, so I wake him up and ask him what he was dreaming. Tells me he was dreaming about being with his friends when he was younger, like going to the bar and partying. Said it was some of his favorite times in his life. I thought that must have been a great damn dream and left when I finished care. A couple hours later, I had left with a coworker to pick up a patient. When I returned, all of my coworkers are freaking out, even our senior nurses. My patient was on a portable video because he could be forgetful at times, and on the camera, they had witnessed multiple orbs shooting through the room that had looked similar to shooting stars. We get that from time to time, but they said that there was a crazy amount to where the room looked like it was glowing. Some coworkers even went in to check. When they did, the video person said they'd disappear, then return when the staff left.
Oh.
By the time I returned, the orbs had just stopped. About 15 to 30 minutes later, my patient wakes up and decides to get up from the bed. I go in there and thought it was weird for him because he didn't really do that at night prior. I ask him where he's going. He points to an area behind me and says that his friends are here and want to play cards with him. My coworker who was with me paled. I just said that they should play cards when it was a little later and tucked him into bed. I thought that this whole situation was pretty wholesome. My coworkers thought I was nuts, but I was like, his friends just wanted to stop by and say hi.
Yeah.
Wow.
Why play cards with his ghost friends?
That's so sweet.
That's wild because multiple people witnessed the orbs.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
God. I really liked that story though. I thought
that was a good one. Yeah, because he's remembering his life when he was young and still could get around and do stuff and be a hooligan.
Yeah, just cause some chaos, you know? It's so sweet.
And it's so wild how the majority of them are so similar. You know, yeah. It like Lindsay said, doesn't matter what faith or culture you're from. Mm-hmm. That's really weird.
All right. So I found
how much we don't understand.
I found my last story. And then I actually have something to show you guys that will.
To show. We'll
Okay. So this is from Artiverse on Reddit. And they said, haven't had any experiences as a nurse, but when I was a night shift CNA in a locked residential behavioral unit, really old building, I had a few. She has three little short ones. Okay. So number one, I had a resident who was presumably A&O, nonverbal, blank stare. Took care of her for about 2 years and never heard her talk once. She was fairly young, 50s and ambulatory, but only if you led her around. One night I was stalking the room and it was pretty dark. I had thought she was sleeping. My back was turned and from the bed, I heard a really low-toned voice say, "He's here for me." I startled and turned around quick to see her sitting up and looking directly at me, pointing to the opposite corner of the room. I was inwardly freaking out, and I just nodded and left. Came back the next night, and she had died.
Oh, my God. She did like you, Courtney. She was like, peace out.
Yep. Not my problem.
He's here?
He's here for me.
Well, you best get on along the way then.
I'm not even lying to you. I think that at that point, if I'm in a dark hospital room and I hear that coming from behind me, I would simply pass away. I really truly think that I think that my brain would just take me
shut
out.
Down.
It would say, "You know what, girly? I'm taking us out of this situation and you're welcome."
I would be saying, "Who's here?"
It would take
who's here for
you?
Okay, this next one's kind of sweet, though. But it's sweet, but it's scary. Okay, the resident who was there for wandering behaviors due to dementia was a huge favorite among staff since he was so sweet. He called me Miha and had a very distinct voice. Unfortunately, likely had COVID at the very beginning of the pandemic before they had the antigen tests available, was placed on isolation in the single private room on the unit. Supposedly recovered, but developed pneumonia a few weeks later and passed away. I did the post-mortem care. A few days later, administration decided that the locked unit staff were to remain separate from the rest of the building due to COVID and converted the private room into the staff break room. It was a plastic table and a microwave. Anyway, I'm sitting there eating dinner at 2 a.m. when the hair on my arm stands up. I get up from the table and poke my head out into the hall and see no one. And very clearly over my left shoulder, I hear, "Miha." Gave me chills. Can't say whether it was my head or not, but it freaked me out.
Oh,
but that is cute, though. Like,
it's sweet, but it's
just creepy.
Yeah. I think it's wild how our bodies respond before our minds do, actually. Yeah. Like, when you're in a situation when you know something is not quite right.
Mm-hmm. And you always listen to your instincts.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Even if it seems like it doesn't make any sense, you should still listen to your instincts.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Okay, so this last one. Had a resident who self-ambulated to the bathroom at night pretty frequently with a walker and oxygen. We would listen and check on him when he was done. Another CNA and I were charting and talking in the hall around midnight when we heard him get up and go into the bathroom, toilet flush, and bedroom light turned on. She stops talking and turns white. The resident had died several days prior, and both of us realized at the same time, no one was in the room, but the light was on and the bathroom door opened. Mm-mm. That's like that good old story where it's like, hey, doesn't Nancy work here? Nancy's been dead for 10 years.
She died 10 years ago.
What story is that? Is that on a movie?
It was on some TV show. There's always that joke.
Yeah, that joke. They keep seeing somebody and everyone's like, she's dead.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sorry y'all could hear Ladybug barking a while ago.
Oh, that's fine.
She's fine.
Okay.
Oh, gosh.
this last one, I had seen this picture years and years and years ago, like when I was in high school. Not that I want to date myself, but, you know, I'm not that old. It wasn't that long ago, but.
Like 2-3 years ago.
Yeah. I had seen it like a really long time ago and just thought it was so creepy and interesting. And it just popped back into my brain today because I knew we were going to be doing these types of stories.
Oh, gosh.
So I'm going to put this picture up. And if you're just listening on the podcast, please go watch on YouTube because this is probably single-handedly one of the only pictures that I have ever seen that has like freaked me out, given me chills.
Well, can we put it on our socials?
Yeah, possibly. I don't know. Okay. I mean, it's creepy. Okay.
What are we looking at?
Well, just look at it for a second. Just take it in.
It's like a bedside table and an IV pole and a chair.
Okay, here's the backstory behind this photo. Okay. And you can see the photo itself is of a like a TV screen.
Uh-huh.
And with all my research today, now this has been debunked. All right. But here's the backstory. Big good. So a nurse one night was watching this patient in this room, and you can see the patient's bed, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
She said that this black form that you can see in the middle, that's like almost like really creepily crouching over the bed,
mm-hmm.
had appeared for like 2 minutes or so and like moved around the room. And then like the patient died like a few hours later. And everybody, this specific person that told the story didn't say that it was a demon, but looking at the picture, that's immediately where my mind goes.
That's a demon.
So there's what you're saying is there's a patient in the bed.
Mm-hmm. But do you see how it looks like there's something standing?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The bed.
Yeah.
Oh gosh. Okay.
So it was debunked. So it's not real.
I'll show you another picture in just a second.
Okay.
Kind of shows where things are. And I could have swore that there was a second picture that when it was like in a different pose, but I could not find that one to save my life. But I swear I remember that there were two pictures of the same thing and that this figure had different poses in each. So it wasn't the same thing in each one.
Okay.
But here is another picture that kind of fixes everything for you. So in reality, the thing that our brain is making into a figure is really just ordinary objects that are kind of close together, and in that dimly lit room it makes it look like there is a person standing on the bed, but the top part of it is a coat hanging in the background.
And okay. Then the just part the where patient's you can kind
of
see
the leg coming down is the bed rail, and the patient himself, one of his legs was uncovered.
Oh,
so you
gosh.
Can see like his knee and his leg coming down, and that's the entity's leg. But if you didn't know any of that information and you just saw this
exactly.
Can you just picture me in high school?
Oh, yeah.
Just surfing on the computer one night, comes across this, and I was like, oh, that's obviously a supernatural being, for sure. No question, no doubt 100%. In my mind. Yeah.
And that goes to show you too that there's a lot that can be explained.
Yeah. Most things probably can be debunked, but it is kind of fun to think about what it could be.
Yeah.
And I think what makes this so creepy and convincing to me is that in my mind, if I'm thinking of like a Grim Reaper type of entity, most of the time you think of it standing still, having the big, what is it called that he carries? The big scythe, just kind of quietly standing there. You can't see his face. He's just really still. But this looks like it is freaking grudge crawling all over the room.
Reaching down for him.
Yeah. It looks like it is coming for this patient in the bed, going to grab it up, poof it somewhere else. It mm-hmm. just looks very like the movement that it's making. You can't even really tell what kind of pose it has or what the hell it's even doing up there. Is it dancing? I don't know. But it looks just so odd uh-huh. and so just weird. That the first time I ever saw it, I really was scared. I really was like, holy shit, like that's something right there. I don't know what it is, but it's something.
It reminds me of that movie Ghost, when the bad guys die and the black things come up out of the ground and drag them down. Yeah. Ooh.
It's just, yeah.
Okay, yeah, that would scare me if I didn't know what it was. But once you told me.
That was my finish. That was my grand finale.
It is. Once you see what it really is, you can't mm-hmm. unsee it after that, you know?
It's still creepy. Yeah. That's what the entity wants you to think it is.
I swear there was another picture. Like, there was a second picture where it was in a different pose.
Yeah.
Maybe my brain's just making this up, but I swear that there were two pictures.
I wonder if it was a camera that went, like, spanned across the room slowly or something.
But it was still from that angle. The one I remember was from that same angle. And it was the picture that I showed somebody had taken of like one of those old TV monitors.
Yeah.
Of this thing. Ooh. So, and there's no information on who took the picture or what hospital was it at or who mm-hmm. even posted this online. There's no information about that. But the story goes that the nurse saw this figure appear and then disappear after a few minutes, and then the guy died like hours later. And so that picture with that backstory.
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
I think I'm done for the night. Thank you. I think I'm done.
Well, on that note, if our listeners have any stories themselves, hopefully we have some health professionals listening. If you have some stories, some weird things you can't explain, we would love to hear about them. And what are you laughing about?
It took me a second to orient our pictures with the banner, so we were just all over the place.
Okay,
good now. Good.
So send in your listener stories, even if they're not about the hospital or near-death experiences. We love all spooky stories. So send those in to us at sirensofthesupernatural@gmail.com. We keep waiting for some stories to come in. We had some like right when we first started the podcast, but hadn't had a lot since then. So we would love to get some of those and share those on the air. Mm-hmm. And Lindsay will tell you about our social media. And before she does that, I want to thank Courtney for coming on. We had such a good time.
It was a good time. Thanks.
Family reunion. One of these days we'll have to get Aaron on here with us.
Oh, Lord.
That'd be like a 4-hour episode.
Yeah. Oh, you'd be going all night.
Energetic.
Yes. But anyway, thank you, Courtney, for coming on and sharing with us. What you had to say was interesting, and it's neat to get the perspective of somebody that works in the hospital, especially in the creepy, dark hallways and then in the ER like you do now. Oh, I couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. Thank you for doing it.
Yeah, well, it's a job.
Yeah, but you are good at it. You are good at it.
All right, guys. Well, if you want to follow us on socials, we are at Sirens of the Supernatural on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. And on TikTok, we are at Supernatural Sirens. So with that, we're going to leave you, and I hope that you stay spooky.